We're now at item nine, and is Raleigh going to take the... And we will, once Raleigh has completed his presentation, we will go to our public comment, by the way.
We haven't had it in a couple minutes.
Okay, moving to item nine, consider and take possible action, provide direction pertaining to the SARA Retiree Lookback Project, Compensation Enhancement Study. Just to recap the background, in 2014, Board of Retirement directed staff to go and take a look at retirees who had completed their active service during the years 2004 to 2014. In May of 2014, the board made a public statement of its intent to review these past incidents of unusual compensation increases at the end of employment. In July, it was further refined as to what compensation items and components of final average salary would be looked at. Yes, some of these were more routine, recurring items that would typically appear amongst most active members. So items such as longevity, vacation, sick, and other times, other parts of compensatory leave time were excluded from the review. And then in December, the initial observations from the look-back study were presented to the board. And if you recall that at that meeting, the board directed staff to look at more of the variable forms of compensation, on-call, shift, and so forth, other variable discretionary pay items, and then also on-call time coded as overtime compensatory time because of that conversion that, you know, was initially observed at that time. In 2015, the board further refined what staff was to look at. So we were looking at, you know, high unusual increases, 30% or more. And then in May of that year, there was an item that was brought before the board, a retiring hazardous materials specialist, and the on-call was reviewed at that time. And then in September, there was another item related to a retiring fire chief to adjust the calculation and retirement allowance for that individual. In May of 2016, further information was provided to the board based on additional information that was requested, reviewed, and analyzed by staff regarding on-call pay specifically and other compensation components. And then again in 2017, February, data was presented to the board. And then the board took two actions related to that, you know, considering and took possible action or took action to adjust the retirement allowance of the retired hazardous material specialist too. So they, chosen not to move ahead and do any exclusion based on that, and then also to revisit the FAST calculation for that one individual that had retired in 2015. So just to recap some of the observations that were made during the look-back project, you know, there's 3,448 retirees during the period. The average increase in final average salary was 12% across the universe. You know, as we went through the different items, the refinement process as to what we were looking at over the years, the universe of retirees began to decrease over time as we started to look at more specific items of compensation in the final average salary. So once we got down to the point where we were just focusing on the ones that had 30% or more, so that was 188, and then when we started to zero in on variable compensation components, that reduced the universe down to 42. So those items have actually come before the board for review, deliberation, consideration. And as it was noted, the variable compensation items, such as on-call, seem to present itself contributing the most as far as a type of compensation, variable compensation, to increasing an individual's final average salary. However, as it was presented in front of the board As we started to reduce that universe even further, past on-call, the other types of variable compensation, such as shift pay, that sort of thing, didn't contribute as much. And there is a table here that actually is a reiteration of one that was presented in April of 2015, as far as these other differential items. So the amount of on-call and shift pay and the number of individuals that was receiving these was gradually reduced to that, 42 individuals. Of those, the hazardous material specialist two that were presented, the other individuals that on an individual basis have been reviewed under the compensation enhancement policy and also the compensation earnable policy since 2013 has slowly reduced in number as well. So at this point, as far as the look back project goes, the universe of retirees that we can look back at between 2004 and 2014 has been exhausted. Just because getting down to this number now, unless the board has another item or another area that they'd like staff to focus on, there isn't an additional area of inquiry that we can make at this time. So based on that recommendation that we have on page four of the memo, just to consider specifically based on the observations contained in the staff reports in light of the board's prior decisions, no further unusual retiree compensation increases from 2004 or 2014 merit further review at this time. And then as it's explained in B and C, it doesn't preclude the board from, should a new fact pattern come up or another item come to light through our audit authority, employer reviews, as we're doing the compensation reviews when somebody's retiring, we're actually able to take a look at that and bring those items back to the board.
I have a question, Raleigh.
Yes.
So, Raleigh, in your first recommendation, which I guess is A, mm-hmm. on page four, that no further unusual retiree compensation increases from 04 to 2014 merit further review. Is that your way of saying that you'd like to be relieved of the formal duty under the retiree look back project to conduct that inquiry? Is that the translation?
Based on the criteria that the board had provided thus far, there would be no other additional retirees that we could look back under the filters and direction that the board has given.
Right, but in terms of what we've been doing, we've had the retiree look back project,
mm-hmm.
and you've been the primary person responsible for overseeing implementing that. And I guess I'm just understanding the recommendation is you'd like to have the retiree look back project be deemed concluded.
Yes.
Right? And that no further action would be taken under the retiree look back project.
That's correct.
So that's the recommendation.
Right.
If by some other happenstance the board or staff were to become aware of a retirement that appeared to be
spiked,
for lack of a better term, thank you, Jerry, the conclusion of the program wouldn't preclude staff or the board from looking at that, right?
No, because as we just heard, the compensation enhancement policy actually would address those eventualities. Also, how the benefits department reviews compensation, that 5% threshold,
right.
It just provides a filter where they start asking additional information just to see what has attributed to that increase. And then based on that, if there is something that needed to escalate and additional information be requested, we can do so under our audit authority to go to the employer, go to the member, have the member provide statements, go to the employer, pull payroll records, what their process is, look at their LOUs and MOUs as far as their employment conditions, all of that could be factored in. And if the fact pattern still presents itself where a perceived enhancement has occurred, we can bring that to the board then.
Yeah, I guess
why we're including an A based on the observations contained in the report, so we're not limiting ourselves to if something is brought to our attention or something else is observed, we'll definitely take a look at it, but it doesn't What we're saying is that based on the focus and the direction previously provided by the board, we just want to have direction that, okay, we've kind of exhausted that review. Are we okay kind of closing that chapter and moving forward?
Right. I don't have a problem with that. I guess I was maybe quibbling with the choice of words, which is that if you want, if the recommendation is to conclude the retirement look or the retiree look back project, then I would suggest that we say just that, because it has a defined purpose, role, definition. It was provided in several reports, so I don't think anybody has a problem with that, but I guess we'll find out. What I was quibbling with is that your A defines a certain time period without referencing the look-back project, and I'm just suggesting that if you want to conclude the retiree look-back project, I don't have any concern with doing that. I just would want that to be without prejudice, that in the event some case were to arise that we didn't know or have reason to know about, I don't know how that would be, but if it did, that you know, we wouldn't be precluded from going back and looking at that.
Isn't that covered by letter B?
Yeah, but it's not clear in letter A.
Well,
so that's what he wants.
If I can clarify A in the terminology, the terminology retiree look back project came about a little later, and in the letters of intent that the board issued, you didn't refer to it as such. You actually referred to it as unusual retiree compensation increases. So I think it's the same. We're talking about the same exact thing. It's the retiree look back project that we're talking about here in A.
Yeah. I think they look back.
I was going to say, and there's based on B and C, there would be no preclusion for the board to even retroactively go back to retirements before 2014 if we find staff, the board finds that there's unusual increases.
Yeah, and I was speaking specifically under 31.539 as opposed to our other statutory authority. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't sort of shutting the door forever if somehow we missed a case or something came up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, and I think that's still preserved under our audit authority at this point.
Yeah.
Raleigh, this was a huge educational piece for me going through this and learning about it. And what really bothered me the most about all of it when we kind of worked down through the nuts and bolts of it is that these people that were able to increase their final average salary by 10, 20, and 30%, you know, God bless them, they had the opportunity to do that. Okay, fine, all well and good. But what I didn't realize is that the unfunded liability to cover that over the next 20, 30 years is going to hurt those future retirees. And that really bothered me, and it still bothers me today. But I can accept the fact that, okay, if I was in that position and able to increase my final average salary, I would have done the same thing at the time. But I'm still bothered by the unfunded actuarial liability. I go back to what Scott says. I just want to make sure that if there's an unusual incident that we discover during counseling, the counselor says, wait a minute, this doesn't look correct, and we discover that possibly this might have not been an appropriate way of calculating the final average salary, and it kicks it up beyond what any of us would find acceptable. I want to make sure that we can bring that back and take a look at it, because it's not that it's that we're stuck with that for the next. This system is stuck with that for the next 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And we keep doing this for tons of people. There's not going to be anything left at the end of the of 30 years for those people who are, you know. And granted, Pepper has really helped us with it, and this board made a decision to do base pay only for PEPRA, and I understand that. And so, you know, 10 years down the road or 15 years down the road, but in for today and for the next 5 or 10 years, it's going to take a loss out of our system. So that's where I'm at. I thank you, because I learned from this process what I have just explained, I'm thankful for that part of it.
Yeah.
All right. And knowing that we still have the opportunity when it's okay.
Good. Todd.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion.
I was going to say,
we have
I asked our public comment to
wait until
Raleigh's
finished. So what I'd like to do is
I wasn't here then.
Is ask if there are any other questions of Raleigh at this point. And if not, then provide for public comment and then go ahead.
No. That's what you get for coming in late.
hearing none. Thanks, Raleigh. Ms. Owen, would you like to speak? And if you would use the podium.
Hello, my name is Lola Elwine. I'm Jerry Yoshioka's wife. He's a retiree. I'm also an attorney. I have three questions that relate to the last item on your agenda. I'm going to repeat them several times because I'd like to make sure they get into the minutes accurately. The first question is, how much did it cost the retirees to have Sisera conduct the multi-year look-back project? The second question, what tangible benefit did the retirees receive from the multi-year look-back project? The third question, what could have and should have been done differently? Let me start with the first question. How much did it cost the retirees to have Sisera conduct the multi-year look-back project? Apparently, Sisera doesn't know, and I find that startling. My husband asked me to give you copies of emails, so I'm going to hand those to you now. There are two pages. Please take one of each. The first is Jerry's email request to Sisera for a breakdown of the cost and expenses of the look-back project. The response he received was, they're working on it and would get back to him shortly. And then he received an email that basically says, pound sand, because we don't have any breakdown of the costs. We don't know how much staff time was spent. We don't know how much time Mr. Dukowitz spent. We don't know how much was spent on attorneys. Although they give an attorney's fees amount, they give you no reference point with respect to the time frame for those attorney's fees. They also point out that attorney's fees are not sequestered as to the look-back project. Sisera retirees are entitled to know how their money is spent. We're entitled to have an answer, and I hope you find that answer and give it to us in the future. Now, what tangible benefits did the retirees receive from the look-back project? I have no idea, because in all the review this morning, not one was mentioned. I can tell you what they did receive. They received years of heightened blood pressure, stress, anxiety, and emotional distress. And it's real. It's not fake. It's real. And what could have or should have been done differently? It's obvious. And each of the retirees who spoke to you told you the same thing. Why didn't you ask us first? One thing you weren't told, but you'll find it in the records, is my husband sent two emails after he was told that there would be a charge, an attack on his pension. Two emails asking, what do you need of me? What information do you require? No follow-up. And where is that simple measure, asking the retirees questions before you institute charges against them? Where is that simple measure in any of the policies and processes you've discussed? No place. You've suggested a revision, but you didn't even suggest talking to the retirees. Is that not startling? Because you spent almost 4 years on this, and the bottom line that you all came to was, gee, maybe we should have talked to them first. But you haven't put it in writing. And finally, there's another thing that you haven't stated. We don't even have minutes of the February 8th meeting. In fact, minutes and that sort of thing seem to be long delayed. But one thing all of the retirees want, and they want it in writing, is for Cicero to say that the charges you made against those retirees, they're done, they're over, they're finalized. And I got to tell you, what you said here today is only making them more nervous. Oh, well, we can go back if we find something, right? Well, I suggest you have a closed session with Mr. Lederman. There's some legal principles that apply. You can't keep coming back after people time and again. It's wrong. I want answers to those questions that I've asked you. All the retirees want answers to those questions. And we'd very much like you to put them in writing. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone want to make a comment or a question?
Yeah, I do.
Jerry?
Yeah. May I ask you, what retiree groups are you representing?
I represent my husband as an attorney.
What retiree groups are you representing?
I'm answering your question if you'll allow me to.
That's what I'm asking.
I represent my husband as an attorney. I represent myself as a direct benefit of retirees' benefits. And I've spoken with more than one of the retirees that you all made claims against. And each of them have referenced the same things. So when I say the retirees want these things, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not saying Lola Elwine, as attorney for the retirees, is saying this. I hope that makes it clear.
Do you know what retiree groups represent retirees in this county?
Yes. In fact, there's a representative here today.
Can you tell me what the retiree
groups are? I'm sorry, I don't have the name specifically. And if I did, I would probably make a mistake.
Thank you. That's all I want to know.
Any other questions?
Mm-mm. When you're talking about the retirees, you're talking about those specific retirees impacted by the situation? Or are you also including just the retirees in general?
I'm talking about the specific retirees who've been impacted by the situation. However, I would find it extremely odd if any retiree whose funds are impacted by you all would not want to know the answers to those questions. Any other questions? Thank you.
Raleigh, if you'd like to go back to the podium, or if you have a...
There was a motion.
He started.
He didn't finish your motion.
At least from my perspective, I would ask that we not get involved in some sort of a question and answer session here today. We have...
public comment.
It's public comment on the agenda item. We have a report and recommendation before us. I anticipate we're going to have a motion. So at least from my perspective, I would ask that we not get into a Q&A with a public comment.
I concur. Todd, you want to go ahead with your motion?
Sure. I was going to make a motion that we move the recommendation, but under item A, start with regarding the retiree look back project, and then all other text as written in agenda item 9. Does that satisfy Trustee Gordon's concern?
Yes.
So you're taking out based three decisions?
No, I'm not taking anything out. I'm just adding it in regarding the retiree look back project.
Gotcha.
I'll second the motion.
Doesn't?
Yeah. Whatever, and with whatever proper
but doesn't
punctuation.
Doesn't the parent item, if you will, the recommendation, talk about the retiree look back project? So I would assume that all sub points are pertain to the retiree look back project.
It does, but Trustee Gordon had a particular concern, and I thought this was a simple way of addressing it.
Sounds good.
And I've seconded your motion.
Okay. Let me add, by the way, that Trustee Deborah Allen was unable to be here today, but she did write a letter that staff received this morning. A quick paraphrase of the letter is that she concurs in ending what she describes as the audit project, which is obviously the look-back project, but would like to see us take action to begin a culture change, and I think we've discussed it a fair amount, with respect to pension spiking and to establish a communications program to accomplish this. So let me add that to our deliberations on 9. Any further discussion on the motion?
On the communication item, each employer or sponsor has received a copy of this, correct? The policy? Or will receive, I should say, future tense?
Yes.
To acknowledge receipt of. Okay, good.
What I would also like you to mail a response, the response to each of the three retiree groups so that they also get a copy.
A copy of the policy?
Yeah.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Motion passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to reserve some of these comments for later on, but now it seems an opportune time to bring them in.
Okay.
It's a follow-up to the motion, which I obviously supported. My concern on a going forward basis is exactly that. What happens from this point forward? It's not a matter of what happened in the past. I don't want to relitigate what happened in the past, but I, for one, would like to see a more formalization done in trying to determine how we identify, investigate, deal with future instances, and how this board is kept up to date with that. And I was wondering whether the board might consider a number of steps. These would take the form of staff direction if the board would agree with that. One would be to provide a detailed description of the steps and language used by SACERA staff in communicating with employees or retirees regarding apparently improper FAS enhancements. What do we say, especially if it's in writing? How do we get dialogue with that employee back and forth, or the pending retiree? Also, I'd like to have the board consider getting periodic, it doesn't have to be this often, but perhaps even as often as monthly, covering the time since, we may have gotten that information to a great extent today, the number of cases in which this has actually been brought to the attention of individuals. And I think we now have a better idea of that, so I didn't realize what area you were going to cover, Raleigh. I'd like to see us get on an ongoing basis, or consider getting periodic summaries of the apparently improper FAS enhancements that are identified. That on a quarterly basis, we find out that there were this many cases, that these things were identified and researched, and how they hopefully were resolved.
Jerry, on that, are you referring to a prospective?
Prospective, right.
What I meant, though, is in the discovery going back in time, because I'm seeing two things here.
I'm talking about on a going forward basis. How do we try and keep ourselves from getting into this discussion point again and having to look back and say, why did we approve that a year ago or 6 months ago or 6 years ago? I'd rather have us be in a position to be able to say, we've identified something that's questionable today before you have retired, and we're now going to have to resolve that before we finish the calculations and also cut your first check. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hopefully resolve that. But I'd like to also have the board consider asking staff for the steps that we take to advise sponsoring employers and or departments of apparently improper enhancements to ensure their understanding of the payroll practices that could lead to improper FAS. How do we get back to the county or whatever agency is, whatever department it is, and say, this is the problem, and we need to close that loop too? It's not just the retiree, it's the department that is making those payroll changes or determinations or whatever it might be. They may be doing it innocently, they may be doing it in a manner that it's intended to benefit the retiree, but one way or another, if we determine that it is not allowable, I think we want to make sure that the department and the sponsoring agency understands that it's not allowable. They have to quit reporting in that particular manner. And I'd like to see us have that more formalized and see where those agencies have in fact responded and say, we've changed our policy from this point forward, we're not doing that anymore, we've recoded it, we think we're now in compliance, whatever, to make sure we've got that loop closed. And I'd like to propose having the board consider making that written. We have written confirmation from that agency that says, this is what we've done, this is what we understand, this is why we're not doing it anymore, or this is why we think it's okay, and some sort of tying up of that knot at the end. I'd like to see the board consider seeing samples of all the printed or written materials that Sisera uses, either on a one-to-one counseling basis or, more importantly, in a group counseling basis, to make sure that we have scrubbed that so that there's no indication or suggestion by retirees at some later date that there was some passage in a written material that said, I could do this. You said I could do this, and here is the material. If there are scripts that the counselees follow, if not scripts, at least talking points that they have to go through with each one of the counselees on a one-to-one basis, determine whether or not that's covered in the counseling session. And then perhaps most importantly, I'd like to see the staff consider it with the board's concurrence to review a draft of a document whereby the counselees acknowledge their understanding of what constitutes FAS and that they also understand the possible ramifications before they retire, so that they understand that if there is something that is not allowable and on the basis which we determine it is, or that might be found out in the future, that they understand what the ramifications are, so that somebody is not coming back later on and suggesting that they were told it was okay, it was done 5 years ago, you know, I remember clearly the conversation we had. I'd like to see the staff consider having something in the file where the employee, regardless of how many times they come back and decide to touch base, I want another review, I want another review, I want another calculation, I'm thinking again, a new calculation, that each time they sign this thing and understand that if there's some determination later on, that we reserve the right to go back and make a correction. And so those are my various suggestions. I'd like to see it buttoned down a little tighter. And maybe it is in some respects, but I'm sensing that some of these things could be buttoned down so you go back and you say, here's a copy of what you signed the day you retired. Here's a copy of what you signed the day you had your counseling session. And you understood.
on that latter point, it sounded like it's an informed disclosure. That is, it's,
sure.
It's something that says, you know, under the provisions of, you know, 31542 or whichever statute I'm going to misname, in the event that the circumstances turn out to be not the same or you know, other than as represented, then the board has the right to make that correction.
You acknowledge that you...
And then the employee would acknowledge that.
Correct.
So there's not that dispute 5 years later.
You acknowledge you've had this discussed with you. We're not accusing you of anything. We're just saying you've had this discussed with you. You acknowledge what that might constitute, what might fall into that category. And you also understand that the board reserves the rights. The Sisera board reserves the right to go back and make a correction.
Right.
If we find out this later on, and you were in fact informed about that before your first check was cut, and it's in our record, we archive that. So, thoughts for consideration for the staff.
Good thoughts.
Yeah, I share a lot of those thoughts. I think one of the tangible benefits we learned out of the Look Back Project was the many and varied ways that these circumstances arose, whether it be employer, employee, Sisera, all of the above, and there was really an imprecise understanding, I think, particularly with respect to the process by which persons were counseled or advised or the testimony we heard from folks about what they were told or what their understanding was.
Right.
I'm not throwing rocks, I'm just
right.
saying we heard all that testimony, so my thought is, I think that should be addressed. I think clarity on that, just a nice bright line of clarity about what's known, what's disclosed, what's said, everybody acknowledge it, that's got to be.
And on those update reports, I think it would be nice to see whether or not there are themes in there. I'm talking about agency identification, employment department identification, not necessarily the employee. I don't want to know that it's Martha or Greta or whoever it was, but it would be nice to know whether or not there are six of these things that came in from the Department of Health this month, or there were five that came in from, heaven help us, some other agency. Sorry, Tom. And it would be nice to know whether or not there are patterns that we're identifying before they become problems, without naming any individuals.
Well, with all this discussion, I think it's really important to speak to the context of why we, with our fiduciary duty over this fund, are even doing look backs
why we went through this process. It wasn't a vendetta trying to get people. It was trying to have a balanced pension and a pension fund. And the reality was, with these add-ins at the very end, the employer wasn't contributing toward them, the employees weren't. And that leaves this huge unfunded liability, as Jerry mentions, it is being pushed down to future generations. And so I think even as we go forward with what you're suggesting, Jerry, I think it's important that our employees understand why we think this is so important. This is their fund. We're trying to preserve the assets of this fund and make sure that any benefit we're promising, both the employer and the employee are properly paying into it. And I think that's what sometimes gets missed in this discussion.
Well said.
Well said.
Yes, David.
But for people who are retiring, to be able to know with confidence that what they're going to get is what they're going to get, and that's not going to be in the crosshairs down the road for whatever reason, is critical.
No, and
that's what people are building towards and they're relying on and so forth. So if we can, and I know this is going to be better going forward, but if we know for sure, as best as we can possibly do,
of course,
to make sure that the numbers we give our retirees at that time, we've done our due diligence, we've researched everything, we've answered all our questions about possible compensation issues and so forth. If we've done that before they started receiving their money, then people are making financial decisions
into the future. I agree with you 100%, David.
Absolutely.
Every time we've come to this issue, especially after someone's retired and they would not have retired but for the information they were given, it's horrible. I agree. They make those decisions. That's why I like what Jerry is proposing, so that we do have that information in a timely basis and that we're not looking back, but we're looking, in essence, forward to any unusual things coming our way. And if we're seeing a pattern, that we can then address it with the employer so that we're ensuring that the employer, the employee, are paying into the pension and we're not seeing this spiking at the very end.
Correct.
Go ahead, Doctor. Doctor, please continue. Go ahead.
Well, no, so I was going to say, Raleigh, I mean, how can we do that better going forward? Big change recently over the past so many years, right, with all of this, with Pepper and so forth. But, I mean, going forward, do you see that the situation improving with respect to our ability to really research someone's compensation patterns and all that stuff and be able to apply our formula towards their retirement in a very confident way so that we're not subject to this later?
Yeah, I think one of the main things that came out of the project was actually looking at how we look at the different elements of compensation. Under the audit authority that PEPRA provided the Retirement Association, we were able to refine how we ask the questions of the employer. So that's one element. So payroll, timesheets, their employment agreement, conditions of employment, how it's recorded, what the reporting line is up through their payroll system, right through to our front end through our member services area, having a better, deeper understanding of how that is all linked together and works. That allows us to glean more robust reports that we can provide the retirement counselors, over time, new tools as new technologies and things might become available as well. So we can continually refine that process at the time of retirement. Also, how we communicate that to the not only to the member, but also the employer. When a new pay item comes up, where an employer has considered a new form of compensation, There is a process in place where that's communicated to us. We take an initial look at that. We do an internal review. We match it up against the regulations, our policy on compensation earnable, and also PEPRA for pensionable compensation. We provide an advisory back that, based on the fact pattern and the documents that they have supplied at that time, within that context, whether or not it will be pensionable. And we communicate that back to the employer. That goes to our member services area. So there'd be ongoing monitoring with respect to that pay item. If there's something that is unusual that has not been provided to us in advance, that will actually show up in the employer payroll reports that come across our front end. They can't be loaded, so then it's flagged. So then we have to have a dialogue with the employer. So it's all about having better information, more robust reporting, and then once we have that, then we can communicate that to the member at their time of retirement and have, you know, a better understanding that we can communicate to them, and then, you know, to Jerry's point, to have that acknowledged back, I think would be a good step. But I think that through this whole process, we've been able to get more information and have a better understanding of how everything has been linked together and how the whole apparatus works when items of compensation are reported to us.
Raleigh, let me suggest that you, Gail, Karen, other staff agendize a future, not too far in the future, presentation on lessons learned and lessons applied to make the board aware in a more tangible form what we have done, what we're doing differently. Jerry had a number of, I think, just outstanding ideas. Come back to the board with that kind of a presentation. Maybe we call it educational, but basically it's a status report on how we've changed the operation of the program at ground level to recognize what we learned through this difficult process.
Would it be possible, Mr. Chair, to have the ideas that Jerry mentioned, certainly included for the sake of discussion in the context of the report that comes back? Because I'd like to hear, have staff evaluate those ideas, and to the extent they could be incorporated with the consent of the board, that would be appropriate. So if it's appropriate, I would want the direction include his points.
Certainly consider, you've got Deborah's much longer letter than I attempted to summarize here. I've submitted some materials to Gail, my thoughts on this, and maybe others of you have as well. This is a staff role, so I want to be cautious on the board dictating in a very specific way what they ought to be. The staff should take all of that information, I believe, and come back to us with how you are going to apply the lessons we learned. That's in essence, at 30,000 feet, what I'm trying to describe. Well,
Raleigh, how many out of the 3,448 retirees that were identified during the look back project, how many of their pensions were adjusted?
Out of the 3,448, just off the top of my head, I wouldn't want to guess, but we did have three that came before the board that I'm immediately aware of, and the pensions were adjusted based on that.
Three, okay. So, you know, Dr. McDonald brought up that the retirees, before they retire, when they are counseled by the counselors, you know, they want to have a set number in their head because it's just so critical, like you said, for their lives going forward. And this pension system is in benefit of the retirees and the employees of this. I mean, the pension system was created in essence back in 1937. My understanding is from trying to attract higher qualified individuals and retain them to public public jobs. So, I was also curious about the cost. I didn't mention anything in terms of what this look-back project cost. I was not in favor of it, if you look at the record. And 3 out of 3,448 pensions adjusted. I don't know if it was necessary. But my understanding is from this look-back project, what we did obtain is a better review process that we put in place in terms of mathematical qualifications for every retiree. So I don't know if we're now making more, we're talking about this and making more noise about it because we're not, is it necessary? I mean, Raleigh just identified in item B of the last motion that there's a process in place that's actually better than it was from 2004 to 2014. So I don't know what we're really doing here. The statistics on 3 out of 3,448 is, we weren't evaluating those as they were going through. So in terms of Jerry's comments, I support, possibly having materials looked at of what are we identifying and putting to the the employees or the retirees before they retire. What are we showing them? What are the options that's actually in print? I agree that would probably be necessary to be reviewed. But I just don't want us sitting here spinning our wheels over a system that seems to actually be working. I mean, if you look at the statistics over 10 years, we've identified with this look-back project 3 individuals. Of course, many other ones came into question, and then we deemed them all right, correct. So I just want to just keep in perspective of what we're doing here. Are we again spinning our wheels unnecessarily if we're trying to put more processes in place? I think two counselors with the review and the statistics that we have that we're catching these that Raleigh's implemented, I got to say I think it's better than 2004 to 2014, and it identified these three. So maybe we're going to catch them all. Just something to keep in perspective.
Well, how much money did we save with those three versus how much we spent?
How much did we spend on the look-back project? It's a good question.
Well, to me, my review of the look-back project, when I think about it, it's not going to be defined or distilled by the per capita cost of someone who ultimately was adjusted, because that project looked at broad filters and then narrowed down to the more finite filters of what we looked at in depth. And I think the pleasant surprise for me out of this process was what Raleigh alluded to earlier, which was it really put a magnifying glass and a bright light on employer practices, employee practices, CSERA practices, all of it, because it all caused or contributed to what a fundamental aspect of that project told us was that we have a substantial unfunded liability by reason of the fact that we had final average salaries that had an unfunded component. And the system's going to take that on. It's going to have to absorb it, and it's going to have to be paid for. So at the end of the day, and Candace alluded to this earlier, we're trustees. We're fiduciaries of a trust. It's a fund. And the fund is there for everybody who is a beneficiary of this system. It's the employee who started on January 1, 2013 under PEPRA, and it's the legacy employee who hasn't yet retired. We owe that duty to everybody to make sure the money's there. So for me, I found this project illuminating that we were able to get into the weeds substantially to understand the mechanics of how that kind of FAS bump can occur, and more importantly, how to prevent it going forward. So we've learned a lot from that. And to me, it's intangible. I'm not going to put a dollar on it on a per capita basis about who got adjusted and who didn't. It could have been very different. But to me, the lessons were incalculable for the go forward. And I thought what Jerry put out on the table for ideas were excellent. And I would encourage staff to include those, evaluate them without being dictatorial, if you will. I would encourage that. As you said, it's a staff function. Let's come back and look at it. But the day we stop looking at this or trying to make it better, we're going to concede the point.
Yeah, so. I'm not suggesting that we stop. I'm suggesting that the system that's in place today, since Raleigh and staff implemented a while ago should be sufficient, other than reviewing the communication materials and opening up some type of channel with county administrator CAO's office if we identify a payroll issue. You know, other than that, I think that the system's probably, I mean, it's not probably, I mean, we've looked at the statistics, it is catching those identified.
Right, but we're, you know, in terms of what Raleigh's doing, we haven't yet completed the full-scale audit of all of the employer organizations. So even in that process, we're learning, just getting into the micro of each of those different employers, how it works, what their, you know, what their processes are, those pay code issues that were fleshed out as just part of the problem here. I mean, to me, you know, this is one of those things where, is it better today than it was before? Absolutely. Can it be better next year or the year after than it is today? I think absolutely, and I think that's what we strive for, because ultimately we got to make sure there's enough money in this pot for everybody.
So I think that at some point the board the board, we had the answer of I don't know, as far as, you know, are there unusual increases in compensation during the FAS period? So the board tasked staff with looking at it, because I don't know was not a comfortable response to are you doing your fiduciary duty? Right. So, you know, we've expended a lot of time and energy in that process and looking, taking a deeper dive into this, and there's a lot of knowns now based on the information that we have. And I think that the next step in that is logically going forward, how can we assure that we're not going to have an instance in the future where the board feels like, hey, we need to take a look at this again. So I think that the other piece of that is there's a lot of knowns now. There is a lot of lessons learned. We have a much better understanding of some of the department practices, some of the payroll issues. We've been developing a lot of processes and reviews around this. And I think the next step with that, from what I'm hearing, is that some board members feel like they're not sure exactly what all is occurring internally. And I want to make sure that the board has comfort around that what Sasera is doing is we are fulfilling our fiduciary responsibility to the plan and ensuring that we're conducting things in a responsible and fair manner, I think is what it comes down to. So I think that some of Jerry's comments are definitely on point. I will sit down with a team and we'll go over and flesh some of these things out, and we will come back to the board with that and have a further discussion on, you know, how can we better communicate. And a lot of this comes back to communication to our members and communication to our employers and with the board, and just making sure that we're tightening that up and that everyone has a good understanding of what's going to happen going forward. Well, so that's what I'm hearing. If there's anything different than that.
No, but on the point, I mean, I'm, you know, to me, I'm not suggesting or trying to intimate that there isn't a tremendous effort that is underway now. And I'm fully aware of it in terms of how we look at impending retirements, how we closely monitor them. I'm just saying that, you know, there are myriad lessons learned out of this report. One of the suggestions Jerry made, which was to have a written sort of a finite conclusion to the resolution of an employer practice, doesn't matter what employer it is, mm-hmm. if there was an issue about how on-call was distributed in the final year of employment, and it turns out that shouldn't have been done for a variety of reasons because it resulted in an unfunded liability, it would be nice to have a written resolution of that. In other words, a final conclusion with you know, with a bow on it, literally, because 5 years hence, we don't want to be having the discussion of a he said, she said, they said, you said, Sasera said, they promoted it, because we learned all that from this process. That it, you know, all kidding aside, there were a lot of benefits out of this project that put the bright light on what those practices were, and you know. That's just one of many things that came out. But I, you know, for at least from where I sit, that would be helpful, because it's one more thing that's battened down. It's no longer debatable. It's not a point in controversy, right? It's off the table, right? In other words, it becomes a system check in place that prevents the argument 3 years hence.
Yep.
Okay. Let's move on. Thank you.